Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Show. Got some good news and some bad news to get things going today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, today's show should probably start off with some bad news.
Well, have you ever been to a basketball game where there's young kids playing, or really any sporting event? You know that sometimes the parents can get a little too involved.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they get a little vocal. You even see scuffles sometimes that spill out onto the field with the parents fighting each other from the rival schools.
These are a bunch of losers who had never achieved anything in their own life, so they have to live vicariously through their kids that they are, you know, driving to be good at whatever they want them to be.
Easy, buddy. I'm like a 4 years away from that myself, okay?
I can't wait to be a sideline mom. Not like a screaming, beating up one.
No. You are gonna be losing it.
I'm not going to punch anyone,
yes,
but
you
I'm
are.
Totally
you're
going
to be three wine coolers in, and you're going to be out there flipping folding chairs.
She's going to have a camelback full of white wine.
White claws, sir. I need my seltzer.
The Bud Light seltzer. Camelback. Just hammered. That Audrey chick,
she's
fun.
Sounds like a dream.
Well, in this case, this is in Ohio, and one of the parents could be criminally charged after police say that he headbutted a referee during a basketball game involving fifth-grade girls. So a bunch of 10-year-old girls.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you really have to commit to headbutt somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
If you headbutt right, though, it's like a wrecking ball coming in.
Sure, but you're still, like, putting a lot out there, like your own head, for example.
Yeah.
It just feels, I mean, it's one thing if you're like sort of yelling at the person and you just sort of like jab them with your head. It's another thing if you're full on swinging that thing like it's a mace. And
yeah, but you don't go skull to skull. You go skull to face.
Yeah. Do you remember that one guy who headbutted in the World Cup? Like maybe it's been 8 and 10 years ago now. You got like eliminated
from
the game for a headbutt.
It's so violent, but you have to know how to do it, otherwise you mess up your neck. Mm. The referee,
insane.
Doug Thompson, said the situation escalated during the second half of the game when parents in the crowd started becoming rowdy. He then asked one of the parents to leave because they were using profanity towards him during a timeout.
Wow.
And then he asked if everything was okay with the parents that were still there, and one of the guys that was one of the original instigators flipped him off and said the F word to him again. That's when he jumped down, headbutted me in the face, said the official. He suffered minor injuries in the incident. The parent has not been charged, according to court records. Police say they're working to get the prosecutor's office to approve charges. What's taking so long?
There was probably, you know, you've got at least two basketball teams there.
Witnesses.
All the parents there.
I imagine there's only like 30 people in this crowd.
That's a large amount of
still
people.
Still 100 people probably all in, right?
That is straight up assault. Like that. If you're taking the time to, most of the time those referees are making next to no money doing
nothing.
That, or they're volunteering, their time.
Also, can we? Why would you volunteer to be a referee?
If your kid's on the team, maybe, or like on a league in there or something, I don't know.
Everyone hates the referee, regardless. Like the referee never does anything right. You think about the punching bags of just society. Like, no one ever cheers the referee because they got the right call. You just boo them when they get the wrong call.
Well, some people, you know, they want to make sure that the game is played fairly and it's done right. You know, we are not those people, obviously.
Cheat to win, baby.
We're probably closer to the guy who's had too many drinks and headbutting the guy, you know. But I applaud the people who go out and become referees. But if I was that dude, I would 100% call that guy's work. I would dime him out in a heartbeat.
Would you?
I mean, you get headbutt in the face.
You don't cancel culture him?
No, not even cancel. I'm just going to tell his
boss
what
job.
He did. Yeah.
Try to get him fired.
Yes.
Cancel his life.
Yeah. Sue him.
That sweet little 10-year-old girl that you're trying to protect out there.
She has no food on the table.
Looks like mommy's going to leave you and get a new daddy.
So,
he's doing it for the 10-year-old, Dave. That's what he's doing.
That's right.
That 10-year-old should not be around such a violent, horrible human being.
So some good news today as well. The only cashier at a gas station near Grand Rapids, Michigan got sick this month, had to call 911, but the store didn't have to shut down. It's because the 911 call that he made around midnight also called his boss to find someone to fill in. The paramedics took him to the hospital before the other cashier got there. There's a bunch of customers waiting to buy stuff, so instead of just telling them to leave, a group of firemen jumped behind the counter and ran the store.
Oh.
Captain Chris Swedland said that he was having some trouble figuring out the register at first, but he finally got it working and rang people up until the other employee got there. Which, cool, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Like,
consumerism.
Do you
interesting.
Does the fireman like opening your cash register if you're the owner of the store? I don't know.
Is that Snickers bar that the customers are buying that important?
Like, what if there's a fire or car accident or something? This guy's trying to ring up a banana. You're like, come on, man.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
You put in the produce code. It's 4031. You type that in. There's not a barcode on the banana. You got to type in the code, and then you enter, I think. I don't know. Let's try it. Being a cashier is somebody that used to be a cashier. It's tricky. It takes a lot of practice.
I know it takes a lot of practice. I barely get it when I'm going through self-checkout.
Don't go through self-checkout if you don't know how it works.
Don't you yell. Don't you tell her how to live her life.
I'm telling her and everybody. Don't go through self-checkout if you don't know how it works.
Self-checkout needs to be improved. I don't want to put it in the bag, okay?
Put it in the bag.
These are my menthol cigarettes. I'm going to roll them up in my sleeve. Thank you. That's what I do.
You know, grease back your hair.
That's right.
Put on your leather jacket.
Start
as well.
Snapping. Go get into a street fight. Headbutt someone.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So in case you didn't think that there was enough ways to get into debt, StubHub has figured out a new way for you to get into debt.
How's that, Dave?
How about a payment plan for your Super Bowl tickets?
Oh, really?
You can put Super Bowl tickets on layaway now?
Yeah,
StubHub is partnering with the financial technology company called Affirm. It'll let customers buy into a ticket payment plan. Starting this week, the U.S.-based customers looking for tickets from $99 to $17,500 will be able to pay those off with interest over a period of up to 1 year. So the new partnership between Affirm and eBay Inc. takes effect this month and covers most sports and concert tickets. So it's not just for the Super Bowl. It's if you want to put your tickets for Bon Jovi on your card and pay interest on those, you can also do that. Isn't that nice?
That's wonderful. Yeah.
But what's the interest rate on them? It got to be like 50% interest.
Well, they're gonna
so the annual interest rates range from 10 to 30%.
Wow.
And when you're talking about tickets for the Super Bowl, the average tickets right now on the secondary market are going for $6,800.
Insane.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Saw
insane.
A buddy of mine that was posting on Facebook because he was actually looking and thinking about going. He found some club level tickets, $35,000 a piece. But that's all inclusive. So that includes, you know, mini hot dogs and.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That really adds that extra $30,000.
A couple of drinks.
Free hot dogs. Cool. Very cool.
That's a new Mercedes. I mean, not the high end one,
C-class.
But still, it's still
C-class.
Still a new car. Like, that's for a single ticket.
Is that enticing to you since you were looking at prices the other day?
No.
Is that
not
something
at all.
Never
like,
would do?
Like the payment plan thing, to me, this seems like we have just gotten to a point in society that a lot of these events, just to me, there's zero chance that it's worth that kind of money. I mean, that is, in a lot of cases, a single salary for somebody's year. If you're looking at $35,000 to go to the Super Bowl.
You don't want
to
see J-Lo and Shakira
How about I just watch it on TV with all the better angles?
I think they're going to broadcast it, right? I'm pretty sure. Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. Like, even when I go to a football game, most sporting events,
they're not that great live.
They're not.
Unless you're with, like, a group of friends and you're ripping it up and you're having
you
a great time.
You can do that at home, too, $50.
But it's different, right? Like, if you go with a group of friends, but that's what I mean. Is like, it doesn't really matter if it's the Super Bowl or NASCAR, just some random event that, you know, you're not even
Monster
really that.
Jam.
You're just there because you're having a good time with your friends. Yeah. So I'm with you. I mean, the idea of paying $17,000 or, you know, even $6,800 or $32,000 for Super Bowl tickets.
Never in a million years.
Insane.
People have more money than sense spend money on that.
But I feel like that kind of makes sense, though, because the Chiefs and 49ers haven't been to the Super Bowl in a million years. So people are probably more willing to dish out that money now than some people haven't seen it in their lifetime.
I think it's every team ever for every Super Bowl. It's going to be like this. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter the Chiefs haven't been to the Super Bowl.
The Chiefs
in 50
haven't.
Years.
49ers, it hadn't been that long for them. So. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, like, San Francisco is obviously a market with a whole lot of money in it, you know, Silicon Valley and everything else. So you got to imagine corporate cards are buying up a lot of those tickets, which is why.
It's corporations, not us.
So this guy had a pretty good day. A Delaware man accidentally bought two identical Powerball tickets for the same drawing, and each of them won $50,000.
Hell, yeah.
So the 61-year-old guy from Newark told the Delaware lottery officials he asked his son to fill out some pay slips for the January 18th Powerball drawing. But when he got to the market in Newark, he realized that he only had enough money to buy three of his intended four tickets. The man returned the next day for his fourth ticket, accidentally used the same numbers as the one from his other tickets. Man ended up winning $100,000, $50,000 for each ticket based on a mistake.
If you were curious where Powerball is at right now, $373 million. The drawing will be on Saturday. So, yeah, a lot of money up for Powerball right now.
Eli Manning has announced that he is hanging it up. You know, I mean, obviously his career has trended down, but he's had a great career.
Won two Super Bowls.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's one of only 21 quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl without losing one. He's one of 12 to win at least two Super Bowls. Yep. He's also got he is sixth in the NFL history with 8,100 attempts and seventh for completions, over 57,000 yards, 366 touchdown passes, and overall just like a really nice guy. He was always the lesser Manning brother.
Yep.
And he was fine with that.
Yep.
His stats and his accomplishments are incredible. You never got this, like, smug, arrogant sort of thing from Eli Manning. He was always sort of like, oh, yeah, there's this new guy that came along. Yeah, he's like, this new guy came along, Daniel Jones. He's like, yeah, I'll just sit on the bench. It's fine. Oh, you need me now? Yeah, okay, I'll get in there.
I think he's
a team player.
He's got a face that's easy to hate, which I think it's why it's so easy to hate on Eli Manning. And on top of that, you know, being the, like, less successful brother. But, I mean, the fact that he has won two Super Bowls, that he has had this career. I mean, the Giants have had their ups and downs over the years and, you know, kind of quite a few downs. But dude's going into the Hall of Fame, maybe, I mean, first ballot?
That's what stinks, though. I mean, you go out there, you win the MVP of two Super Bowls, you beat the Patriots, and you're still Peyton's brother.
Yep.
Dang it.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Super, super soft, multiple ply, the best toilet paper ever. We charge $100 a roll. You in?
Message deleted.
$100 a roll? No.
How about this? How about bidets for everyone, everywhere, and we solve that problem? We don't have to be we have this thing called plumbing. Like, we've had it since, like, basically the Roman times, the aqueducts. Mm-hmm. And most of the rest of the world has found a way to harness this water to make sure they got a clean-ass ass.
So you're saying charge $100 for that instead?
I'm saying, how about we just, you know, get on that and stop being afraid of a little water. They even warm it up now. I get it. Back in the day, before we had the technology, and it would be an ice cold frozen water right on the sphincter. No. Now, it will be a nice, warm,
lukewarm
caress.
Oh, yeah. Just like as if you're washing your hands, but you're washing other parts without having to use your hands. It's much more sanitary.
Yeah. 1,000 times more sanitary. Yeah. We're just scared here in America. We are not prepared. We deserve what we get, and that's bootleg, scratchy, sandpaper-like toilet paper at all these places because we don't deserve that. We're not good enough.
I judge you if you have a bad toilet paper at your house.
Oh yeah, for sure. We need the bidet all day.
All day bidet.
Mm-hmm.
That should be our. We need a hashtag.
All bidet.
All day bidet.
All bidet.
Bidet all day.
Bidet all day.
Bidet all
day.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You know how they have those fancy camping places now that all the rich people do? You spend thousands of dollars for a getaway, but you sleep in, like, a teepee or something. But any of you ever do that? I can't see myself paying that much just to sleep in a teepee that somehow has Netflix.
Message deleted.
Oh, Audrey is shaking her head.
Yeah, I would. I would glamp.
For sure, go glamping.
Yeah.
Why not?
Sounds way better than actual camping.
Yeah, I don't want to be in a teepee. I want to be in a cabin.
Yeah, I can go somewhere and they have like, cool cabins that have all the modern amenities, but yet you're
glamping.
You're still outside.
You're just, Ricky, it's a hotel that's just shaped in the
form of a cabin. I'm being outdoorsy, okay?
They put wood accents, Dave. They've got wood furniture. There's a fake fire-burning furnace in there that doesn't really work.
There could be wolves right outside. You don't know.
Wolf.
I mean,
in case you didn't know,
that was a wolf owl. No, but really, I mean, like, the actual idea of going out into the woods and camping is still a little bit scary as an adult, right?
Yeah,
because you're in the tent and you're so vulnerable. And and I don't know about you guys, delicious.
Yeah, I'm warm.
I don't want to sleep on the ground ever. Anywhere.
No.
Like, I want to make sure that they're like, you know, everybody gets up in arms about bed bugs. Right, you know, in hotels,
like actual just regular bugs.
Yeah, those are even worse.
Yeah,
those are just as bad
because you're laying in their bed.
Yeah,
like it's not even their fault that they're eating you alive.
Do you guys
ever watch that show, Naked and Afraid?
Yeah. I've seen it.
Like the worst part of it is where they're talking about how these bugs are eating them alive, and specifically on their junk. While they're trying to sleep, and you're like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
One time I went camping in the very beginning of my relationship with my husband.
Were you pretending to like camping?
Oh, I pretended so hard, and we didn't even do it right. We were just like a sleeping bag on the floor of the ground.
Yeah.
It was awful. I slept like a rock half the night. I woke up, and I was like, that was great, sweetie. Let's do it again.
The only reason that people go camping early on in a relationship is because hooking up in a different place is always hot.
Yeah,
that's it.
You're like, oh, we're doing it outside, and now you're like,
this is magical.
Can you imagine doing that now with like your spouse? You're like, outside. What are you talking about?
Even on a full bed? Yeah, no.
It's gonna be a king size bed. We're gonna do it on your half of it.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Do any of you feel bad when other people's business ventures don't work out? Like, I had a friend invest his entire life savings into this company he wanted to get off the ground, and it failed in like 4 months. I literally kid you not. And now he's all out of that money. Any of you guys gotten through anything like that?
Message deleted.
I mean, if it's something like that where they lose their life savings, it's terrible. But they're I don't know if this makes me a bad person. There's a part of me that finds like satisfaction in when people have a really bad idea. And they tell you about it, and you're like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's going to work. And then they do it anyhow, and it totally bombs. Does that make me a bad person? Then I'm kind of like, don't do it.
No, because you told them, and they still did it.
Well, even if I don't tell them, I'm just secretly in my head like, mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I mean, those are the type of people, though, like, if you don't take risks, you'll never get ahead.
No risk, no reward.
Yeah, I mean, it's a gamble you take.
I'm bad at gambling.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Hence all the beautiful castles in the desert.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So this is a pretty significant breakthrough, assuming that this continues on the track that it's on. The world's first totally robotic heart is in development, and they're saying that if this continues to be developed at the pace that it is, it could end the need for transplants within the next 10 years.
Wow.
So it's called a hybrid heart, and it's the first ever made of soft artificial muscles and sensors and then coated in human tissue and grown in a lab.
That's crazy.
Are we just going to start living forever? That's kind of terrifying.
I don't
when does it
live
stop?
Forever.
When does the heart stop ticking?
There's lots of parts of the body, obviously, but
how
far do you guys think we are away? I mean, it's not going to happen in our lifetime, right? But
no.
I mean, how far do you think it is away that there actually is just, like, you can get anything replaced.
100 years.
Except for your brain.
Even that, I think, we're getting closer to, because they're doing trials right now where you are, not like medical trials, but there's companies out there and there are people out there who are trying to download your consciousness from your brain onto, you know, storage facilities.
Hey, but before you download
can I
scrub a few things? Can I delete my browser history?
Can I put this in incognito mode?
But no, the pioneering Dutch surgeon is working in partnership with the British Heart Foundation to transplant it into the person in 2028. So, that's less than 10 years away. The team behind it would claim that it would end the need for transplants from humans that have passed and save thousands who die from an organ donor waiting list globally. So there's a lot of people waiting for hearts that never get them, unfortunately. So it's huge. And, I mean, this is the sort of thing that, you know, here in 2020 we always hoped would be happening.
Yeah.
You know, these huge medical advancements saving people's lives. You know, when you're able to take a lot of money and time and dedicate it to, you know, saving people who are sick or who need a new heart, as opposed to let's buy more things to kill people.
Yeah,
that's probably the right direction.
That's the right timeline. But
that's the right fork in the road. You know, let's save more people instead of killing more people.
Hearts, not bombs. Yes, that's let's go that route. But I mean, I think 100 years we'll probably be more like cybernetics, man. Like, it'll be kind of like Johnny Mnemonic, or we will have, you know, we'll be part android, part human.
But how much does that change things, though? I mean, like,
you're playing God.
You think about how we have this, we almost revere as if they are gods, like athletes. You know, the way that people treat athletes, it's just kids fawn over them, even adults. You're just but all of that goes away if everyone's just a walking robot. Nothing is impressive anymore, right? Because it's not
physically.
Darth Vader.
You'll be the peak of that, though, too. There will always be an upper echelon of whatever.
But
is it
just the richest person, then, that buys the...
It's got to be expensive. This is not going to be something... This robo heart is not going to be something that that Joe Schmo, middle class man, is going to be able to afford.
Not yet, that's the problem. Not yet.
Yeah, it's not going to be. I think that people read this and go, "Oh, wow, this is great."
This is going to save Aunt Becky or whatever. Yeah.
It is an amazing advancement, but I mean, this is not going to be feasible for just you and I. At this point,
we're all going to be dead before this is. I don't know. I mean, regularly available for all of us.
They said that it'll end the need for transplants in 10 years. So I mean, if these actually start to get produced at the rate that they're saying, I mean, they really want this to be available to everyone that needs a heart in 10 years.
Can they start working on a liver?
Well, didn't they just do that with a liver, or was that a kidney?
It's a liver transplant.
It was a liver transplant. But they were regrowing livers and even ones that had expired, they were able to bring back and everything else.
If we get to this point, though, you know, like the one thing I would say about being able to have these incredibly long lives where, you know, we don't have this, you know, basically, you know, stopwatch above our head, you know, counting down how much time we have left.
That just changes life.
Well, I think that's what really, when we hit peak humanity, like, because we can all just work for a common goal there and kind of do our own thing. And, you know, I think that helps eliminate poverty, that sort of thing.
I think it's the exact opposite. If there's no expiration date, there's no sense of urgency to do anything correctly.
I don't know.
I'm just going to live forever.
I think we become the Borg.
Seems really narcissistic to want to live forever and ever, don't you think?
I don't want to live forever.
I want an expiration date.
I'm tired.
Tired. You just want to take your forever nap?
That's right.
And finally, the Flyers have that really creepy mascot, Gritty.
How dare you call him creepy?
He's creepy. But that's what makes him so adorable.
I love him. Yeah. His little Google eyes.
Yeah, he's like a pug, you know? Like, I love pugs. He's just kind of like
if a pug and a mop banged.
Well, in this case, he was the one that was getting a little handsy. A 13-year-old kid was doing a photo shoot, and I guess the kid, like, patted Gritty on the head, and Gritty didn't like it. And so, according to the story, he punched the 13-year-old as hard as he could during the photo shoot.
I don't know about all
that. I feel
that.
Like it was probably by accident. He was trying to be funny.
According to the parent, there was something for season ticket holders. And again, this is the parent's perspective, but patted Gritty on the head and then walked away. And the mascot got up, took a running start, and punched my son as hard as he could. Which,
that's hilarious.
I'm sorry for the 13-year-old kid, but that is hilarious.
That did not happen. I promise you that did not happen.
That's part of his shtick, though.
Billy is full of a-holes, without a doubt. But Gritty, if you were a mascot, it takes a special kind of person to be a mascot. That getting pat on the head's not going to set him off.
Yeah.
Not happening. Was he like...
I think he did it, and I'm here for it.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present, Are You Smarter Than a Community College Dropout?
That is the big question today. Are you smarter than a community college dropout? A la Mahoney. Scotty is joining us here on the program. Hey, Scotty, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Excellent. Tell us about your level of education.
I have a bachelor's degree in economics.
Okay, so.
Are you using your bachelor's degree in economics?
No. Not at all.
Econ was hard.
Yeah. All right, so you and Mahoney are going to be asked these same questions today. There is one pass, so should you not know the answer to one of the questions, you are able to pass, and you will not be deducted a point as a result of that pass. Mahoney, if you'd be so kind as to please get up, leave the room, and go to your soundproof booth.
My winning streak will continue.
You do not have a winning streak. You lose every
week.
Get
out.
Including last week.
Leave.
Scotty, one thing I do is encourage you to use your pass sooner rather than later, okay? Because most people, if they don't use it earlier, they end up finishing the game with the pass, which is a bit of a waste. All right, so if you get one correct today, you'll get the Screaming Eagle of Success. If you get it incorrect, it's the Disapproving Pony. Again, you're trying to get as many or more correct than Mahoney in order to win today. Here is question number one. What does an odometer measure?
Your mileage on your car.
That is correct, yes. Got it, very nice. On the board with one. Question number two. What country invented tea?
Oh, gosh. France? I have no idea.
You do have a pass. If you want to use your pass, you can use your
pass. I'll pass, yeah. Pass.
Okay, all right. Correct answer there is China. So you would have gotten that correct, but you didn't, so no worries. On to the next one. What is the human body's largest organ?
Ooh. I think it's your brain. No,
unfortunately not. It's the it's the skin.
Your skin.
The skin is the largest organ.
Your little skin.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so one correct, one incorrect, three more to go. What state is called the Magnolia State?
Is that Maryland?
It is not. That is Mississippi.
That was
Mississippi.
A tough one.
That's a tough one.
No worries.
All right, this will probably go well for you, Scotty, with the bachelor's degree in economics. What is 20% of 40?
Is that, oh gosh. Was it 10?
10%?
No, 20. No, it's not 20.
Uh-uh. 5 seconds.
He's not using his degree, remember that.
I think it's 10.
You'd be a great tipper. Everybody would be really, really happy.
Eight is the correct answer. So eight times five is 40.
That is correct.
No worries.
I always just take the first number and multiply it by two. That's how I tip. 4 times 2, 8.
Oh,
tip
wow.
$8.
Look at you. Look at the brains on Audrey
over
here.
Over there.
And last but not least, what organ in your body filters blood?
Filters your blood? Is that your liver? No, kid. Is it your kidney?
Yeah, there you go. All right, good. So we got two correct, which it might be good enough. These are some tough questions today. Okay.
To be fair, the one question about economics I got wrong, but none of the other ones were about economics. So.
That's true. All right, so Mahoney is back in the studio. Let's not say anything
like
here.
A lot of collusion was going on.
That's what you always say. You already start making your excuses before you even sit down.
Scotty,
we told them every answer.
Beam me up, Scotty. Or Scotty doesn't
That's
know.
Right. Scotty
that song?
Doesn't know. Yeah.
Remember that song from the 90s?
I was waiting for somebody to say it. Scotty.
And Matt Damon was like singing it.
Scotty doesn't know.
Yeah.
Also,
okay.
Austin Powers.
There is one pass today, should you choose to use it. Question number one, what does an odometer measure?
Miles per hour.
No.
Oh, miles traveled.
Yeah.
Crap.
Whoops.
Whatever.
Question number two, what country invented tea?
China's
correct, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, look on. What? Question number three, what is the human body's largest organ?
Are we talking about mine or yours? our largest organ. Oh, God. I want to say our intestines.
No. It's the skin. Skin.
Oh, whatever. It's dumb.
Next question. What state is called the Magnolia State?
I should know this. Mm-hmm. Why? Dumb southern state, probably. I'll pass.
Good pass. Mississippi.
Dumb southern state. That was right on. I feel like I should get a half a point for that.
Half right.
Okay.
Two more to go. No more passes. Two incorrect, one correct. What is 20%
of 40?
20% of 40,
that would be
5 seconds.
4, 8.
8 is correct. I will tell you this much. Our economics degree holder did not get that one correct.
Well, he's not using it, Dave. Yeah, yeah. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Final question. What organ in our body filters blood?
Our kidneys.
Kidneys is correct, yes. That means Mahoney, you got 3 corrects, and Scotty got 2 corrects.
Scotty doesn't know.
Mahoney wins.
So don't tell Scotty.
Scotty does not know.
Sorry, Scott. Yeah. He actually seemed like a nice guy.
Nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Yeah. I don't hold a grudge.
Because you won?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glitz. Glamour. Fame. Scandal. Weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash.
So Jessica Simpson has done a new memoir, and in it she revealed that John Mayer was, quote unquote, obsessed with her.
Yeah.
They had a turbulent relationship from 2006 until their split in 2007. And she said that it was the factor that led to her drinking. The 39-year-old star said that after just a few months of dating, John repeatedly told her that he was obsessed with her, both as far as having adult relations and emotionally. This is after her divorce from Nick Lachey, but not too long after. So she got divorced from him in 2005, started dating John Mayer in 2006, only lasted until 2007. She said that she felt insecure around John, who is 42 years old. So just a few years older than her, because she thought that she wasn't smart enough for him, and he was so clever and treated conversation like a friendly competition that he had to win.
Ooh, I can see that.
She was insecure, though. She said that she had bad grammar and anxiety would spike. She would just pour herself another drink. It was the start of me relying on alcohol to mask my nerves. 3 years after their split, John did an interview with Playboy magazine where he said, "That girl for me is a drug, and drugs aren't good for you if you do lots of them. Yeah, that girl is like crack cocaine to me. As far as in bed, it was crazy. That's all I'll say. It was like napalm."
So he's 42 now. Ooh. He was 29 when he was dating her.
Right, yeah.
So not like, I was thinking like.
No, he's 42 now. She's 39 now. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, yeah. This was also 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is during her Dukes of Hazzard era.
I think a little after that, right?
No, I think it was
2004?
I think it was before then. I thought Dukes of Hazzard was like 2009, 2010.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, anywhere around there, sure. She looks absolutely
2005.
Amazing.
2005.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Right around Dukes of Hazzard.
Your Dukes of Hazzard.
I got moments that are imprinted in my life.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Jessica Simpson in the Daisy Dukes. Oh, yeah. I remember in those finally heels, in 2005. Yeah, I was like 23, man. 22.
I remember him, too.
So Tim Tebow has gotten married. That means that Tim Tebow has finally gotten laid.
Man, that is such garbage. He's been hooking up for years.
Yeah, right. Like, he's dating all these like super hot models and stuff, and you're like, I mean, I know that you're, you know, you stand by your belief system, but a lot of people will make exceptions. They're like, well, the rules apply to everyone else.
Well, I just think that he was very one-sided. I see Tim just being the guy who was like, yeah, we're not going to do it, but you won't come over here?
Uh-huh.
Service me, please. So, like, I feel like it just doesn't seem like he's a giver.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Really?
Speaking of celebrities that are virgins, and this is the one that I want to get your take on. Do you guys know who Lolo Jones is?
Yes.
The Olympian, the hurdler, uh-huh. and the bobsledder and everything else. She's been talking for years about how she is a virgin, and now she's saying that opening up about that was a mistake.
She's 37 years old now, but we know some UFC fighters.
Let's not get too specific. Yeah, but there was a guy who went to school with her that said that his best friend was definitely hooking up with her all of those years ago back in school. And the thing is that Lolo Jones is rolling out now again what a mistake it was to talk about being a virgin. While also
still saying,
simultaneously talking about her virginity.
I don't feel like you need to talk about that. Like, if you are, you are, and if you aren't, you aren't. Like that's not something that needs to be in the a public discourse, right?
Yeah. Also, the reason why Lolo Jones is having a hard time dating is not because she's a virgin. It's because she's annoying.
Yeah.
She was on Celebrity Big Brother and
the worst?
Just the worst.
Some people,
I mean,
like,
socially awkward. Just every time she opens her mouth, it's like,
I know. Dating sucks.
Shut up.
But if you want to make it work, you can make it work. That is the
dating sucks for everyone.
The common denominator is for the people who can't make it work, right? For long periods of time. We're talking like, you know, decades who cannot never seem to make it work.
If you're 37 years old, you're famous,
problem.
You have plenty of money, you're a high level athlete, you're good looking, all of that stuff. Yeah. And you
seems
can't figure
sus.
Out how to make it work.
It's your Yeah, your craziness is what's causing that, not everyone else.
I mean, she was a total basket case on that show.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, Celebrity Big Brother, I'm sure you guys don't watch it, but I mean, it can be difficult, right? Because they put everyone in a house,
you're
cut off from
what,
the outside world and everything else. Like, it's challenging, but if you're one of those people that knows you're on national TV and you can't hold it together.
Can you put me in a house for 2 months that I don't have to leave and everything's delivered for me, food and everything else? I'm in, 100%.
Like, that's your dream. You're like, I don't have to talk to anyone, and they're just going to Postmates me all my food? This is great.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
The sweet sounds of a laundromat.
Dirty Laundry.
Dirty Laundry is where Ian goes out to his favorite bar laundromat many times. Other times, just random laundromats. And he'll find people that are sitting there either having a beer or just waiting for their laundry to be done. And he'll talk to them and ask them to reveal something that they've never told anyone before. And keep in mind, a lot of these people maybe are in weird places in their lives. Sometimes just very weird individuals. A couple of weeks ago, you were talking to a young lady who had a nub for a finger. A couple of weeks before that. Somebody who's in a Rascal scooter. I mean, there's just you interact
cast
with
the characters.
Yes. Yeah, you interact with quite the bevy of individuals.
And I call them all friends, Dave. That's the best part about this. Like how I met a new friend by the name of Texas.
Texas.
Texas was at the
Where's
bar.
He from?
He's from Texas.
Missouri.
Yeah. Alabama. So Texas was at the bar laundromat. He was actually there doing some laundry. Now, just to paint a picture of Texas, very, very tall man, 6'5".
Wow.
Was wearing a beanie. I would say maybe about 40 years old. Looked very much like RuPaul. And you know what they say.
RuPaul in drag or regular RuPaul?
Regular RuPaul.
And his name is Texas?
Yes, and his name is Texas. He was wearing the tightest gray sweatpants I have ever seen on a grown man.
Oh.
And you know what they say about Texas. And it is very true.
Everything's bigger in Texas?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes, very true.
Oh, my Lord.
But Texas revealed to me something he has never told anybody before, and it's still going on. This guy is very interesting.
All new installment of Dirty Laundry.
Dirty Laundry.
You have the most beautiful earrings. You got like a diamond in there. You got some hoops. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. My name, they call me Texas.
What? Why do they call you Texas?
I'm from Texas.
Oh, that's it?
Yes, sir.
Everything about you big?
Yes, everything.
Well, Texas, the bit is called Dirty Laundry. I'm looking for something you've never told anybody before. Are you drinking a Natty Ice?
That's a natural ice. I know them Natty beers are nasty.
I tell
everybody I slept with my homeboy girl, man. I mean, happens and we're still best friends.
Wait, you guys made it through that?
Yes, and I still be messing with her. I mean, things happen. I mean, look at me. Who wouldn't?
Wait, Texas, how long has this affair been going on?
It's only been going on for like a month and a half, maybe two.
Oh, maybe two, but you're going to keep it going though, right?
Yeah, but it's nothing serious because, you know, she didn't want to sleep with me. I guess he ain't doing his job. I mean, I know him. I be around him every day.
So does, like, she call you up, like, every night? It's like, Texas, I need you.
Well, something like that. I'm at the Salvation Army. So that's where I met her at, and that's where he's at. We sleep in the same dorm, but he don't know I'm sleeping with his girl. Hey, shit happens, man.
Dude, you're f***ing her at the shelter while he's there?
Yeah, but we go to a park and use blankets.
You use blankets?
Yeah, we got to use blankets because we ain't got nowhere to lay.
Oh, well, hey, you're a gentleman. So do you see this relationship going any further? Maybe putting a ring on it?
Nah. It's just something for fun.
Do you think your boy's going to put a ring on it?
He shouldn't if you know what I know.
And if he does and he asks you to be best man at that wedding, will you be best man?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'd never tell him, though, but I'll be there.
And then you're probably going to hit it right after the wedding, right?
If she let me. Hey, that's life, man. And people think just because you slept with that woman and you get with it, some people, oh, she's a hoe. No, she's not. She slept with a lot of men. We just didn't know her then. And that's why I don't understand people why they call women hoes.
I don't understand it either. I think, if anything, you're the hoe.
Exactly.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I certainly like Texas is elevated. He gets it.
Yeah, I mean,
no shaming involved.
I mean, you probably shouldn't be hooking up with your buddy while he's sleeping in the shelter. You're taking her to the park and
he's sleeping in the shelter too.
Come on,
try
man.
To stay warm.
Ah.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
They are officially the Las Vegas Raiders.
Thanks for not calling them the Vegas Raiders.
Yes.
Good job,
the city
guys.
Is called Las Vegas. Yep. It is the Las Vegas Raiders. Well done. But they had the big ceremony out there yesterday. They said that they, you know, the commissioner, I guess, of the NFL, Roger Goodell, wanted them to announce it earlier that they were going to be the Las Vegas Raiders. They said that out of respect, which I can appreciate, you know, like they're just trying to break it off
Wait
with their ex.
The season's end.
Yeah, break it off with the ex and do it in
and
a respectful
everybody
way.
Everybody knew what was happening anyway.
Right.
So it's
yeah.
not like
they're moving on.
There's
but,
no
you know,
need to pour salt in that. Like, there's no need to, like, so. You're right. It's like your ex. You don't send like a like if you're not going to invite your you don't send like a Christmas card with your new family to your ex.
Right.
You know, you just don't like why rub salt in that wound?
But they made the announcement yesterday, had a big press conference out there. And, you know, Mark Davis and Derek Carr and Darren Waller and all those guys out there kind of pounding on the little stake that they're putting in the ground. And mm-hmm. Steve Sisolak, the governor, was out there.
You think Derek Carr is going to be around next year?
Audrey said she saw a picture and it looked like there was Tom Brady was in the picture.
Yeah.
And I think that it would have been pretty awesome if, like, the players were all coming up and taking turns, like, hitting the little thing and putting it in the ground. And then Tom Brady comes up at the end. It's like, yeah. But of course not. No, that didn't happen. Tom Brady is almost certainly going to stay in New England.
Most, if not, he's going to L.A.
Didn't he just buy a brand new home or something like that over in Connecticut?
Did he?
Yeah.
And I know that they were selling their other house. I didn't know if they bought a new one or not.
I think they have a place in Connecticut, and then he also has a place in Florida.
It's just a temporary stay.
I mean, his wife
very, very rich.
Yeah, they live wherever they want.
Yeah. But Mark Davis here talking about it.
The Raiders were born in Oakland and played 13 seasons in L.A. Both cities will always be part of our DNA. But we are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
Ew.
I'm so stoked, man. The idea that the NFL is going to be here in town, that we can go to NFL games without having to leave the city. I mean, there's just so much.
We're getting a Super Bowl.
No, for sure we're getting a Super Bowl. No question about it. And the draft is, like we were talking about yesterday, arguably the biggest thing that the NFL does. You know, 500,000 people are going to be here in a couple of months' time. And as far as people that want to go out and get the official, real Las Vegas Raiders merchandise that hasn't been available, they're saying it will be available probably around draft time.
Okay.
And there's going to be a big Raiders presence, obviously, here in Las Vegas for the draft. They're really going to kind of focus on welcoming in the new team to Las Vegas.
And one of the things
they
did yesterday, I don't know if you have this later on there, so they paid off the school lunch debt for CCSD,
which is huge. So they so their initial statement was that now that they're here in Las Vegas, they want to be a huge part of the community.
Yep.
There's all these kids who haven't been able to afford lunch, and so there's all this debt that's been accrued, and there's been some people who have been pretty like dirtbags about it, like go after the families and everything else, and force them to pay and
let them have lunch.
Like I get that, you know, you have to pay your debts, and that's just part of the world, but the fact that the Raiders are like, we want to be a big part of the community, and they're paying off debt for children to eat, is just like, mwah, that is like the perfect thing you can do.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the kids will still be able to eat there. Just it comes to graduation. If you have a debt, you're not able to graduate, or you're not able to walk or things of that nature. So it's great to see
just
them
eliminating
do that.
is great.
Oh yeah, it's huge. And they're donating, I think it was in total, it was something like $500,000 in total. And the money that was left over from that debt, which is still a lot of money, is going to help fight food insecurity here in the Valley. And I like that they are doing things like that here. That
Absolutely.
Is, if you are going to be a part of this community, be a part of this community. Yeah. And that's a great first step.
Yep. So O.J. Simpson, as you probably know, is suing the Cosmopolitan, saying that they have defamed his character, and you know they put out
defamed it.
And that's, you know what's funny is that
I don't remember the Cosmopolitan putting out a pay-per-view special talking about if I would have murdered my ex-wife and her lover. I don't remember the Cosmopolitan doing that at all. I just remember them being a pretty nice hotel and casino. So how did they defame OJ?
Well, so that is precisely the argument of the Cosmopolitan.
Really?
So their lawyers came out and said in court documents that on January 14th, there were media reports that Simpson was wasted, disruptive, and angry, and could have resulted in tangible damage to his reputation. However, they say, your reputation sucks too much.
Yep.
It's impossible
There's
for us
defamation.
To defame you.
Yeah.
You are a murderer.
Yes.
And by the way, that's not the Cosmopolitan saying that. That's me saying that. You killed two people. You were found guilty of it in civil court.
Yes.
How much money do you owe the Goldman still?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like, let's just say, theoretically, OJ did win this frivolous case. I hope the money goes straight to the Goldmans. Or are you going to hide that, too?
Going to hide that, too.
You're going to hide that,
too? Like it does the rest of it.
Oh, yeah. Like when you went to prison for breaking into a hotel room over at the Palace Station to try to get back stuff that you stole?
That you thought was yours. Yeah, yeah, because you
should still be
it.
In prison. Yeah. You're a piece of garbage.
So for whatever reason, all of us here in Nevada love telling people that we voted. We were voted, Nevada has three of the five best I voted stickers in the country.
We do. We have good I voted stickers.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess that's like a thing where like people like put a lot of time
Ours
into that.
Are big.
And we love to wear them around. So Nevada's number one at telling people we voted.
That's right. I mean, I like
we're
it.
Proud.
Yeah.
Put out awesome. Good stickers. Make good stickers and more people show.
Show
I also
on Instagram.
Feel like you're walking around on election day without an I voted sticker. People are like,
what you been doing? Well, you're like, I voted early.
Oh, you're too busy?
Uh-huh.
You're too busy? Also, yeah, seriously, like, there's no reason not to vote in Nevada, considering how easy a lot of our, you know, the early voting is here.
Oh, and they set
we
up.
We do it right.
They set up, you know, all over town and parking lots
yes.
of, you know, Walmarts and shopping centers and everything
else. And they
else,
make it pretty easy.
And if you actually do just go early, you're in and out in like 1 minute.
Yeah, so
it's
easy.
Super easy.
Vote early.
So an arrest was made in the fashion show shooting. As you probably heard about this, there was a shooting the other night at fashion show, and 18-year-old man faces three felony charges of attempted murder after the shooting on Tuesday night at fashion show left three people injured. So there was some sort of altercation between a bunch of younger kids, and some idiot pulled out a gun and started squeezing off rounds. Two bystanders got shot multiple times. There was shots that rang out at the mall on Tuesday night. There's just no place for that in a civilized society, and definitely not here in Las Vegas. Glad they caught the dirtbag. Well done by the police.
Isn't it interesting, though, like these guys who are trying to like be hard, I'm tough, whatever, and then you pull out a gun, that just makes you a little bitch. Nobody else pulled out a gun. If you're such a tough guy,
just show it.
Yeah, show it.
Roll up your sleeves and show it.
Guess what? You ain't gonna be so tough in prison.
And finally,
You're 18.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Uh-huh. Just old enough to be with all of the other adults.
That's right. Enjoy.
A Utah man was arrested on Monday near the state line between Arizona and Utah after 6 gallons of liquid meth were found in his car. They pulled him over and they're like, "What's wrong with this guy? He was so nervous he wouldn't even make eye contact with the deputy." The sheriff's office that pulled him over, and they found $14 million worth of drugs in his car.
Cow.
6 bricks of white powdery substance that weighed in at 13.2 pounds. That was cocaine. 2.2 pounds of a substance that field tested for MDMA, and numerous boxes containing thousands of packages of candy infused with THC weighing 206 pounds, plus $3.6 million worth of liquid methamphetamine.
Isn't it number one rule that you do not, well, for one, whenever you're transporting that much product, you don't do the product, B, you drive incredibly slow, and you do everything to not get caught. What was this guy doing to get pulled over with $14 million?
The rule is you don't break the law while you're breaking the law. That is sage advice right there. But also, if you're shipping that much money worth of illegal substances,
you get Clint Eastwood to do it.
Get a guy.
Get the mule, man.
Get a guy with a good poker face.
Right, yeah, like some guy that's cool under pressure. You get Clint Eastwood. Like, he's seen some stuff, man.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Although that black Lincoln truck is a little obvious, man.
Why is he talking to that chair?
Who buys a black Lincoln truck?
That was a sweet.
I mean, I guess, man, but get a Ford. It'll blend in.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What exactly did that guy in Karate Kid mean when he told that other guy no mercy? It was the state-sanctioned karate tournament. They have rules and regulations that every dojo must follow. Did he want to murder Daniel? I mean, the Cobra Kai were obviously psychopaths.
Message deleted.
It's true. I mean, they were saying put him in a body bag, like actually murder the kid because you wanted to beat him in a light contact karate tournament? Right? Like, what are you talking about?
In a regional.
You have a problem with that. No, sensei. No mercy.
Again,
this wasn't even state.
It wasn't even state. It was just regional.
Yeah. It was a qualifier.
He's trying to win the southeast part of Illinois. Like, what are you doing?
It's so true, though.
Guys, I have an admission. I've never seen Karate Kid.
What?
I'm going to crane kick you right now.
She won't even know what's coming.
I know.
She's having a crane kick you. She's like, what?
I'm a little crane kick. You need to wax on out of here.
I know wax on, wax off. It's like, I know the things.
Uh-huh. Paint the fence.
I don't know.
Sure.
Leave a message after the tone.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you know this, but Dave kind of sounds like Mark from Blink-182. If you listen to What's My Age Again, just picture Dave singing that, and it'll blow your mind. Thanks.
Message deleted.
Do you know the lyrics to What's My Age Again, Dave?
I mean, I could play the clip here, and we can see.
I took her out. It was a Friday night. I woke alone to get the feeling right. We started making. And that's about the time she walked away from me.
He's like, nobody likes you when you're 23. 3 octaves too high.
Yeah, no, I mean,
but kind of actually.
No, I picture Dave singing like that though. Just kind of in that like monotone, just kind of
was doing a falsetto.
Will you give us a little?
I don't sing. I can't sing. Like my
Say,
wife.
What's my age
so
again?
So yesterday, was my daughter's 4th birthday. So she turned 4 years old yesterday, and my wife posted a video of us singing "Happy Birthday" to her, and I was just embarrassed by that because I don't know about you guys, but in my world right now, with having a 4 year old and a 1 year old, there's a lot of kid birthday parties,
yeah.
And like when we have to go to somebody else's birthday party and sing,
to the kid.
I'm
kind
of like.
But if it's just like you,
I'm fumbling with my phone and pretending like I, you know, yeah, it's just me and my wife.
You,
like,
you can't fake it.
She's seen me do all sorts of embarrassing stuff, so I'm not too worried.
No, I heard that, and I was like, ooh.
It was that bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's gonna be uncover your ears next week.
I would have pushed the button. Like, you're not making it through to the next round.
That's a no for me, dog. That's so mean, man. Why would you say that?
Please leave a message after the tone.
Someone reused a joke I told them the other day while we were out with other people. What the hell, Brandon? That was my joke. I worked hard on that joke, and you just took it from me. A curse on your house, Brandon.
Message deleted.
You can't do that. You cannot.
You can't steal someone else's joke.
You can steal somebody's joke. If you tell with a unrelated group of people,
right?
Like if your friend tells you, then you go tell it at work because those two groups are completely separate. But if you're telling it with the person there, that is a line. That is a slap in the face.
But what if
we are going to duel to the death because of that?
What if you've known somebody for so long that you can't remember whose joke it was to begin with, and you're like, you got to it first.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I feel like you do that a lot to me.
Nah.
You steal my jokes and I pretend like they're yours.
Okay.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, bad news if you were planning on traveling with your emotional support peacock. The U.S. Department of Transportation has proposed a new rule that would rein in some of the collection of service animals that passengers have been carrying onto flights under the guise of being service animals. That means no more peacocks, miniature horses, cats. As service animals.
No cats?
Yeah, no cats, which is strange because cats actually, I can see.
I'm fine with cats.
Yeah, sure, cats.
Just put them in a kennel or cage or whatever.
I feel like that's racist.
Yeah, also, turkeys as well. No more turkeys. Yeah.
Good.
Hedgehogs? Think about hedgehogs.
Nothing but hedgehogs. I don't know if anyone's tried to bring a hedgehog.
I mean, hedgehogs are really cute. Has anybody ever seen a hedgehog?
Yeah.
That's not Sonic.
Yeah.
Sonic does not look like a hedgehog.
No, he does not.
He does not.
So the approved service animal list will be defined as a dog that is individually trained to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of the person with a disability. In recent years, they have seen the number of complaints from passengers about unruly service animals on domestic and foreign airlines skyrocket from 719 in 2013 to 3,065 in 2018.
Wow.
And I'm with you, man. Like, if it's a real service animal because you need a service animal, that's one thing. If you just want to bring your annoying dog, cat, peacock, or miniature horse on the flight, that's another.
Well, they need a differentiate between services. So it's like, is it your service animal to help your anxiety while you're coming home from work and you're going home? Or is this something that actually helps you while you're on planes, trains, and automobiles? Like, there needs to be two separate entities for both of
you. Just take a Xanax like the rest of us, man. It's fine.
Or
also that.
Drink a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
You know, they have these things called bars at the airport.
Have you ever really noticed? You don't really get a picture of this because normally when you go to a bar, let's just say it's your local watering hole, you're not really paying attention to the other people around you, what they're getting to drink. But at an airport, you sit down, you're normally alone because you're traveling alone, and there's not much going on. Mm-hmm. And so you'll hear what other people are ordering. Everyone is getting the double.
Always.
Everyone's getting the double. You're like, everyone is just getting blasted right now. Yeah.
And they always do those, if you get a beer, you can get two shots too, or like the two shots for the beer.
Yeah. Or would you like a double for just $7 more? And you're like, well, first off, what's the first one cost? Oh, $32, then sure. Yeah, fine. But I mean, it's a terrible deal, but everyone is just pounding drinks at the airport. And that's just a perfectly fine way. Like, if you get on the plane and you pass out because you're drunk, as long as you don't actually fall asleep on me,
mm-hmm.
I have no problem with it. If you have an emotional support peacock, there's no expectation that peacock is going to understand how it's flying without flying.
What's going on in there? Yeah.
Peacock's flying for the first time. It's like, I can fly now? I'm on another bird? What's happening here? It's very confusing. This guy wants to register something else as his emotional support animal.
What's that?
Beer. A Brooklyn resident reportedly registered an unusual item as an emotional support animal, beer. Unfortunately for him, some sources say even with certification, the beer-loving man's plan won't work. He filed the unusual registration with the USA Service Dog Registration website, the New York Post has reported. He told the news outlet that he just wants to see if it'll work. He reportedly filed to have his beer acknowledged as an emotional support dog, saying it helps manage him with his social anxiety disorder.
Which is fair and true. I feel like this is something that you would do, Mahoney.
Back to what I just said. Totally fine with beer.
If you could bring in an unruly-ass dog that doesn't really do anything, you know, there are plenty of dogs that do, but there's plenty of you clowns who are bringing in dogs that you just want to travel with your dog and not have to pay. Second of all, I love this dude. Like, I feel like this is, like, remember those old Bud Light commercials, like the real men of genius,
Oh, man, I'd forgotten about those, but yeah.
This guy right here.
He's one of them. Yeah.
American hero.
We just got Mahoney to sing without paying him.
Aha. Uh-huh. How about that?
It had to do with beer.
So Planters is killing off the iconic Mr. Peanut ahead of the Super Bowl.
How are they doing that?
On Wednesday, Planters announced that it has killed off the iconic Mr. Peanut for the sake of good television. And again, this is all leading up to a Super Bowl ad, but let's have a listen.
I just died in your arms tonight.
Oh, look out! Abandon that! We're too heavy.
Matt, let go.
No, you let go.
Hey, Mr. Peanut, no, you don't. Don't do it, Mr. Peanut. No! Maybe he'll be all right. Maybe not.
So what happened was there was these three guys that are driving in this car. They swerve off of a cliff, and in order to save them, Mr. Peanut comes out and sacrifices himself and plunges off the cliff, and he respectfully dies while wearing his top hat.
He's just going to turn into peanut butter, right?
Is that what he bleeds? Does he bleed peanut butter? Also, does he cry peanut butter? Does he spit peanut butter?
Does he? Oh, my.
What do you think? Why do you call him a gutter butter bar?
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So what did your mom, maybe it was your dad, maybe it was a sibling, threw away that was precious to you and you cannot believe that they got rid of it? This one. I lost my big toe when I was around 7 years old.
Huh.
But don't worry, it was just my big toe nail.
Oh.
But I kept it in a box full of stupid treasures. My mom threw it away after my 10th birthday. I was so mad that I cried. Yes, I was a gross little girl who played with worms.
I mean, like, how? I don't blame her for that one.
Yeah, that's kind of okay, I think.
Like a years old toenail.
I used to paint rocks as a kid for my mom on Mother's Day. I gave them to my mom, and she threw them outside.
In front of you? Oh man, that's cold.
Man, maybe you should step up your art game, son.
I got my brother's Care Bear blanket by accident. And I got rid of it, but I still have my strawberry shortcake blanket. So you threw away your brother's Care Bear blanket from when you were little kids, and you kept yours? Ice cold.
Did any of you have a item that you slept with or took everywhere and that like you would have just like a complete and utter meltdown if your parents forgot it and you like went out of town?
I had a stuffed, it was like a puppet raccoon. His name is Rufus.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like my little buddy. I took him everywhere. But if I didn't have Rufus, I got pretty upset. Not nearly as upset as my younger brother with his blankie, though.
I had a
it was like a blue blankie, yeah.
I didn't have a blanket, but it was like a combination of those two things. It was a pillow that was shaped like a raccoon. His name was Rocky.
I had Rufus, you had Rocky?
Rufus,
they could have been best friends.
They could have been.
Could have done a radio show together. The Rufus and Rocky radio show.
Oh, would have been. Raccoon radio.
Rockin' radio with Rufus and Rocky.
But I distinctly remember, like, we went to my grandparents. I grew up in St. Louis. My grandparents lived in Chicago, and we would go up there. Like, we went up there for, like, a couple days over Christmas. So we'd be there for, like, 4 or 5 days. And we forgot Rocky. And I remember
we didn't
figure this out until, like, we were right there and, like, complete and utter. Like, I think that whole, like, 4 days, I was just, like, inconsolable.
My poor dad, whenever we were at Disneyland, left our blanket in like the hotel, and we didn't find out. And so we were driving home, and my mom let him have it because he got me like I would think like in the summers, right? So whenever I went
she
home,
that she would have to hear about it constantly. Oh, yeah. And did you ever think that maybe he did that on purpose?
You know what? Later on, I kind of honestly forgot about that until we were having this conversation. But I bet it was kind of like a master plan between the two of them.
Yeah, he's like, all right, we're going to forget her blanket, and then I'm going to give her back to you for the entire year.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
On social media, at Dave Mahoney, you can text us at 73100. What's something that you held near and dear to your heart that got thrown away probably when you were a kid, still breaks your heart to this day? When I was around 12 or 13, my mom took my Winnie the Pooh stuffed animal. I slept with each night under the guise of washing him. Never got him back.
Oh, no. Maybe it really did get destroyed in the washing machine.
That's a possibility if he was that old.
Mom went... You're 13, bruh.
Hey, but
you're 13.
You're not harming anybody.
Yeah.
You're 13.
That's nothing. There's nothing wrong with that.
You're 13.
Yeah, but it's at night.
Probably you're 13.
The first time he has a slumber party with some boys over is probably going to be the end of it.
That's, she's probably trying to protect him from that.
So here's an interesting
one. Toughen up a little bit.
And let me ask you, if your parents did this or if anybody you knew parents did this, this one coming to us said, I had the Monster Mash record by Bobby Boris Pickett, not the single. She threw it out while I was at school. She went on a cleaning binge since I left it on the floor. And I love that album. It was on vinyl. It was one of my most precious possessions, and she threw it out. Did you ever know somebody whose parents would throw stuff out if they left it on the floor?
Yes, mine.
Yours, your parents would throw it out if you left it on the floor? Really?
Wow. That was such like, that creates such dread in a child. I get the, you know, like, possibly throwing it out. Just pretend you throw it out and then let them suffer without it for a while and then give it back.
Nope.
No?
If it was on the floor. My family, so my stepdad was in the military. If I walked past a piece of like lint or like a piece of paper on the ground that I didn't pick it up, I wasn't going out that weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
We were strict in that household.
So for me, it was music the other direction, though. It's because of the how clean the music was or if it was appropriate for me. So when I was, you know, 14 years old or whatever, I started to get into rock and alternative music and everything else. And you know, that was around the time that all of these like early 90s grunge albums were starting to come out. And I remember I had, you know, a bunch of those albums, and I distinctly remember, you know, back when CDs came with little booklets in them and they had all the lyrics and everything else. My dad opening those up and reading off the lyrics and telling me how inappropriate it was and then taking all of those albums from me. And that was part of what made me love that music so much, which is why I'm talking to you on this alternative radio station today. Because
it,
I was like,
it was bad.
Yeah,
because
I'm like, screw
dad.
You. Like, I love this stuff. You know, it's my little.
It's not a phase, Dad. It's not a phase.
Well, it wasn't.
I never. So I had one album taken from me, and it was in 1990. My dad, because my parents were divorced, and so my dad, you know, had the two Christmases.
Please tell me it was Two Live Crew or something.
So close.
Oh, really?
Well, not close. Is it NWA?
No. Two Live Crew would have been awesome, but similar. Cheesy. 1990, my dad got me the To the Extreme album, the very first debut album from Vanilla Ice.
God, you suck.
And my, like, it was the explicit version. So, and you know, Ice Ice Baby is fine, whatever. It was that was the big hit, but the rest of the album, there was like some really questionable stuff, and that was the only album my mom ever took from me when I was a kid. And to this day, thank you, Mom. Because I could have gone down a whole other road. I'd have been like, I got to get the lines in the side of my head.
Was this right after you went to Claire's to get your ears pierced?
Yes. And the peace sign in my left ear.
Were you doing the whole like little like shimmy dance? What does he do? Like, not like crab walking. But...
No, you're thinking a ham. That's a ham.
Crab walking.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's not like crip walking. It's crab walking. Your legs are together and you're itching.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So what did you have your parents throw away that you held so precious? I was telling you, all kinds of music for me.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else chimed in here on the text line. My parents took away Green Day, Dookie, too many F words.
I mean, when you think about it, though, I mean, I think Dookie came out when I was in, what, sixth grade, seventh grade. And, you know, it was an iconic album. But, yes, very, very laced with profanity. But there was nothing worse, though, than when you would get into your friend's car when you got older and they still had that cassette that had all the, that was all still clean.
Yeah. You're like, oh, come on.
Like, why would you buy the clean cassette? My mom bought it for me.
Andy said, when I was a kid, I had gotten a signed hockey puck by one of my favorite hockey players, Patrick Roy. NHL
Patrick
Hall.
Wah.
What?
Wah.
R-O-Y?
Yes.
Wah?
Wah.
Sorry.
He's
okay.
Only one of the greatest goaltenders of all time.
Oh,
dude.
My God. I'm so sorry. NHL Hall of Famer now. It's spelled R-O-Y. What do you want? I don't know old school hockey players.
Okay.
And me being
a kid. What is it, Roy, too? I have no idea.
It's bagging on me because I don't know Patrick Waugh.
It's Waugh?
How'd you not know Patrick Waugh?
He's one of the greatest goaltenders of all time.
Yeah.
But would you have known his last name is spelled R-O-Y?
Yes. Yes. I could spell it backwards.
Yeah, can you?
I know that.
Go for it.
It's Waugh Rogers, by the way, also. It's not Roy Rogers. So you guys are just pronouncing it wrong.
Me
is
being
it
a kid,
Rogers?
Me being a kid, not really knowing the value of an autograph, I used to leave the hockey puck laying around the house, and my mom always told me to put the puck away, or she's going to throw it away. Well, one day, she threw it away.
Put the puck away. What, Mom?
About 10 years ago, I moved away from my parents' house. I called and asked for my old toys, specifically my Legos. My mom told me they were sold at a garage sale.
Oh.
I lost a piece of myself that day, a Lego-sized piece.
Do man, you I have? I just go get more Legos. Yeah.
I still have. My mom gave me all of my like G.I. Joes and Ninja Turtles. Like she had all of those in a box until like maybe like 3 or 4 years ago in her garage. So I still have most of my childhood toys. The only ones that I'm missing are those big giant old school WWF rubber wrestling guys, which basically were just billy clubs.
This one, I had a stuffed wrestler that was awesome. Stayed at my my dad's crap ass house when we were kids, and one of his roommates stole it while we were at the park, and then claimed that he never saw it.
Oh,
no! Like, who
was it the Ultimate Warrior Wrestling? Because I think they were called Wrestling Buddies, if I recall correctly. I wanted one of those so bad.
This one, we used to have a PlayStation, and we played the WWF game at the time, uh-huh. And the Undertaker used to come on the screen and scare the crap out of us, and so me and my brothers run out of the room screaming. Well, the next day we woke up, no longer there.
PlayStation games, too. Did your parents ever do this? If I didn't have the game back in the case, they would toss them.
Your parents are crazy.
Well, because like if they were like, if they would look at it on the back of it, it was like all total scratched. You know what I mean? Like it was like scratched to no end. Like anything they saw, like they just thought it was trash. Like I wasn't using it. I guess I don't know. Dang,
Joe
why
said,
am I throwing so much of my stuff away?
my original NES games were given to Goodwill. I was mainly upset because I probably could have made a pretty penny on eBay selling those things.
I mean, I remember giving away. So my dad was dating a woman pretty seriously for 5 or 6 years, and she had kids, and so it's like I would see them when I would go visit him. I remember giving them my original Sega Master System, and they were good kids, and I liked them very much so. But 15 years later, I'm like, man, I wish I still had that Sega Master System.
Mm-hmm.
Play Reggie Jackson baseball.
Look at Adam said Floyd Mayweather autograph. Met him, had him sign a blank piece of paper. Was going to get it framed. Wife thought it was just scribbling, and she trashed it.
Have your wives ever thrown anything away of yours? Like whenever you were cohabitating for the first time and you're like, wait, I really liked that thing.
My wife is pretty good about not throwing my stuff away because we have our own separate, I've got my office and most of my stuff stays in my office. But there is one thing that she has thrown out that I don't know if I'll ever get over to this day. I had a pair of slides, like Nike slides, that I'd had since high school. Literally, I'd had these Nike slides for almost, 17, 18 years at this point.
Yeah.
And they were falling apart and one ripped off, but I was, there's very few things that I hold on to that long, going to glue them back together.
What?
Because the top.
But what?
The whole top fell off, and she tossed them.
Well, of course, they were ruined. They didn't work.
No, they were ruined. I could have fixed them.
Look at this.
I was like I could have been a cobbler, Dave, and just super glued them together.
Apple? Or
no, that's what they call peach? People who fix shoes, yeah. Cobblers.
Adriana said, my dad sold my PlayStation and all of my games to the bully neighborhood kid in a garage sale I wasn't around.
No.
No. Not your arch nemesis in the neighborhood.
That is so cool. Like, even if it was one of your friends, you could probably, go over there
And yeah, but no, not the bully.
Dang, did you do something bad?
No, she just wasn't around, she said.
You just thought that she never played it anymore? I don't get it. Oh,
I can't,
no.
Man. I don't know. I know I was an only child and spoiled to an extent, but I can't even process that. I would melt down. My mom would take away games from me. She took away Super Mario Kart for 6 months because I kept yelling the F word because I was so mad. And I would throw the Super Nintendo controller against the old school Zenith
the TV. Yeah,
but they
wouldn't do anything. It just
bounce off. But I remember her taking that and she threw it in the trash.
Oh.
But she went and fished it out later, and I got it back 6 months later.
Jennifer said, my Princess Leia action figure, I got her when Star Wars first came out, and my mom got rid of her when I was in my late teens because she didn't think I played with it anymore. WTF, no, I don't play with it anymore, but I wanted to keep it. She also gave it to my younger cousin along with my Curious George stuffed animal that I love.
Oh, no.
Look, woman, I wasn't ready to grow up. I'm still not ready. Being an adult sucks, and I want my Princess Leia back.
Are there space buns?
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
I feel like you have to have that conversation, if you're going to be throwing stuff out.
No, if I had to go through it, my kids are going through it, too.
No, so you're going to torture your kids?
You're going to be evil.
Evil. No, I'm not going to be evil.
Yes, that's evil. Are. That's straight up evil.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X 107.5.
So when it comes to something sentimental getting thrown away, this one's pretty good. Katie said, I was born around Christmas. I came home as a baby in a stocking issued by the hospital. Oh. I used it as my Christmas stocking forever. And my mom casually mentioned she threw it away a couple of years ago when I was 36. Hashtag Grinch Mom. Sarah said, everything from my childhood. My mom and I moved before my dad, and he was supposed to pack everything up, but he just left it instead, and so they threw it all away.
Here's a brutal one. I went to the Navy, got myself a girlfriend, got a place to live. When I went back to my parents' house to get all my toys and comic books, all my stuff had been put in a storage room. When I went to the storage room, everything was gone. I had over $10,000 in comic books, not to mention all my childhood toys, just because my mom didn't know how to lock a door properly.
Jessica said my mom moved when I went away to college, and the garage she stored all of her stuff in was broken into by her boyfriend's drug addict brother. He stole everything. I had two original American Girl dolls from the early 90s, and I still can't get over it. Andalay, my grandma painted a portrait of me when I was 7, and my mom threw it away when we moved last fall. My mom thought we, quote, didn't have room. Like, yeah, I don't have room for my dead grandma's hand-painted portrait of me, but okay.
That is some passive aggressiveness happening right there. This one, I think, hurts us all who were young rapscallions. My mom flushed 2 pounds of good weed down the toilet. Worst thing, we got it fronted.
That was me. My mom, so much money wasted on weed, just flushed down the toilet. I didn't care about anything else.
Nothing sentimental. Nothing. Just don't touch the weed, mom.
Son of a love it, mother. It's bleeped. Bull.
Time for Bleep BS here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show, and Kevin is joining us this morning. Hey, Kevin, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Oh, things are pretty good. Got a simple game for you today. We've got clips that are being that'll be shared with you here in a moment, and nothing that's being said in any of these clips dirty whatsoever. But there's some strategically placed bleeps, which makes it a little distracting. Would you say that you have a dirty mind?
Yeah.
Would you say that your phone works well? Okay. Here's how this works. Again, I'll play the clip for you after I give you a little bit of a setup. So I'll tell you what's going on. I'll play the clip for you, and then after I play the clip, I'll give you a multiple choice of what it could be. You got to get 2 out of 3 in order to be a winner today, okay?
Got it.
All right, so the first one is, this is actually an unreleased dirty laundry, and you're trying to figure out what this man loves to do.
I like that, man. That's a big.
It's a big.
Just from the. You seem like you're a book of stories, man.
You know what I like to do? I like to go to places I've never been before, crazy places, and it didn't get me into any trouble, but it gets very expensive after a while.
Yes, it does.
So what does this man love to do? Is it A, drinking, B, singing, or C, smoking?
Oh, wow. There's a lot of bleeps in there.
Yeah.
Can, like, string together even. Can I hear it one more time?
Sure. Here we go.
I like that, man. That's a big.
It's a big.
Just from the. You seem like you're a book of stories, man.
You know what I like to do? I like to go to places I've never been before, crazy places, and it didn't get me into any trouble, but it gets very expensive after a while.
So is it A, drinking, B, singing, or C, smoking?
Wow. I think it's not singing because I don't know what would be big. Maybe a large drink or a large cigar, but you didn't say cigar smoke. I'm going to go with drinking.
Drinking is correct, yes.
Very nice.
Yeah, there you go.
I was actually complimenting his pinky ring.
Oh, his pinky ring.
Yeah, it was a very large pinky ring.
A very large pinky ring, okay. Yeah, I see.
Oh, my God.
All right, so you're on the board with one. If you get the second one correct, you'll actually win it. Here we go. This is a yarn enthusiast, you're a yarn enthusiast.
Oh, okay. Yarn. Get with it, guys. Come on.
And you're trying to figure out what kind of hair she is turning into thread. Oh. A yarn enthusiast.
Actually, I'm spinning hair into yarn.
Oh, wow.
So this is Moses, who is a black. She's going to make a hat for her. And then I do a lot of too.
Weird.
So this is a yarn enthusiast. What kind of hair does she turn into thread? Is it A, cow hair? B, caribou hair, or C, cat hair?
Oh, my gosh. It sounded like she said a C word. So you guys really threw those all season sounds in there.
That's right. Screw you,
can I
Kevin.
Hear it one more time?
Sure, here we go.
Actually, I'm spinning hair into yarn.
Oh, wow.
So this is Moses, who is a black. She's going to make a hat for her. And then I do a lot of too.
I believe those are called merkins.
All right, I got it.
All right, what is it?
All right, it's got to be cat hair. The other ones are too coarse.
Yeah, you're right.
Are you an expert on caribou hair?
Yeah, like, for real, how do you even know what caribou, what is a caribou? I don't even know what a caribou is.
It's a reindeer.
Is. It's a reindeer?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Caribou?
You've never seen caribou coffee?
I thought it was like a moose.
I may have seen it. I just didn't caribou out about it.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand.
I don't understand the problem here. This fine, upstanding citizen was just trying to get her twerk on, and she's getting hassled by the police.
What happened?
Popping in a handstand?
Yeah, a woman from Texas has been charged with harassment after she allegedly began twerking on top of a parked car and then spit in a police officer's face when he told her to stop.
Oh, okay. I see. Twerking shouldn't be a crime, but spitting, yes. Can't do that.
The 31-year-old name, her name is Kisa, she was confronted by an officer for performing a sexually provocative dance on top of a vehicle in Austin. The affidavit states police responded to a fight that was taking place between two women outside of a grocery store just before midday on Tuesday. While one of the suspects was inside the store, Taylor was twerking on top of a parked car. When the officer came up to her and said, "Hey, you need to get down," she refused, took her pants off, and twerked harder.
Oh, my gosh. Harder. So they just got in a fight, and then she went to go twerk immediately after?
That's what you do to assert dominance. You get on.
That's right.
You take the high ground, and you start twerking. And
then
you go
harder. They were filming a music video.
Yeah, and if a police officer comes over, you say, "Don't bother me while I'm at twerk." In this case, she eventually came down.
Get twazed.
She was detained by cops for disorderly conduct, put in the back of the patrol car. As the officer was speaking to her, she intentionally spit in his face.
Ew.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Not cool.
Put your pants on. Stop spitting everywhere.
Also, what are you doing with the, twerking on the top of a car in the middle of the day in a grocery store parking lot to begin with?
You've made some questionable choices in your life.
So much.
If you've ended up there. So, but did she put her cart back? That's the real question. That is the real question.
So a former Tampa police officer is suing the organizers of the Seminole Hard Rock Gasparilla Pirate Festival.
Jeez.
Ye Mystic Crew of Gasparilla and Event Fest Inc. claiming a blast from a pirate cannon has permanently damaged his hearing, forcing him into early retirement. The lawsuit filed in the county civil court on November 19th says the 46-year-old is seeking the intended damages in excess of $15,000, but didn't want the specific amount named. He's a 12-year veteran of the department, was assigned to work at the corner of Ashley Drive and Jackson Street in downtown Tampa during the Pirate Parade on January 30th, all the way back in 2016. At some point during the afternoon, a passing float fired a cannon above and in close proximity to him, causing immediate onset of hearing loss.
I'm pretty sure you can still work if you can't hear.
The Mystic Crew of Gasparilla is the elite social club of Tampa businessmen who has put on the Pirates Parade since 1904. Like, can you imagine being some loser accountant from Tampa who's going to dress up like a pirate and go cruising down the street shooting off fake cannons?
I mean, there's furries. I do believe it.
If he loses, does he have to walk the plank?
Oh, man. 46 years old, and he's forced into early retirement. That's too bad.
Forced. He put himself.
I wish they would force me into early retirement. I mean, still get paid.
Yeah, of course.
I don't mean fire me. I need money. I'm really bad with my finances.
Really bad with it, yeah. I don't save money, per se. So a man gets killed by a blade-wielding rooster during an illegal cockfight. A man has died after one of the roosters slashed him with a razor during an illegal cockfight in India. The birds have razor blades tied to their limbs and then placed in the ring where they fight until only one is left standing. When an event organizer was placing the rooster in the ring, it struggled free, kicked him, fatally wounded him in the stomach, of all places. Like, you'd think, the carotid artery or something like that.
Yeah, major artery, yeah.
Yeah, but no, just in the stomach. Ends up bleeding out, yeah.
I don't feel bad whatsoever for this guy. If you were putting on a illegal cockfighting ring, these are the inherent dangers that come with it.
Yeah, I mean, if you strap a razor blade to any animal so it can kill quicker and then it gets you in the process,
that's on you.
That's kind of on you.
Yeah.
What was this guy thinking? I mean, what were any of them thinking?
There's worse ways to die by a rooster.
Roosters?
Yeah. Cock-a-doodle-doo,
man. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Would you rather have someone you don't know drive you in a car, drive you in a boat, or fly you in a plane? Which mode of transportation do you trust the most with someone else behind the wheel?
Message deleted.
Boat, without a doubt.
Really? So for me, I don't know why, because it's stupid, but planes. I never even think about it. Like, I just get on a plane, and I'm not nervous at all. I mean, if there's a lot of turbulence or something, and you feel something going wrong that's dramatic. But even with turbulence, I'm just sort of like...
But if I've never met this person... And I don't know if they're actually a pilot or a captain or a driver.
But I feel like there is a level an expectation with airline pilots.
No, with airline pilots, yes. But I'm saying if I just met a random person off the street, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with boat because I feel like as a kid, we always just had that one like rando like drunk uncle that no one ever knew. Like, who was always like whipping the boat around the lake.
Yeah.
No one ever knew him.
Jumping out of a plane, got to have a parachute.
You're like, who is this guy? Why am I trusting myself on the back of
a tube
back there going 85 miles an hour? Like, you're getting me pretty close to that dock, bro. Like, if I fell off right there.
It was the thrill.
Oh, but you could just roll off. Yeah, you can't just roll out of a car. You got to get all jacked up.
You just roll off, and then your swim trunks go flying. You ever have that happen to you?
Yeah.
Yep.
And you catch him at the last second by flapping your legs out, and you're like, oh, no.
But we would always do it on the CD, too. Like, always try and, like, hop waves.
So stupid. And you're like, I got so much air. You're like, no, you didn't.
When you actually do get air on a Sea-Doo and you come down.
It is terrifying.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's terrifying.
You know how many people die because those things land on them a year?
So we went to Park City in Utah a couple of years ago for New Year's Eve, and we did this snowmobile thing, and it was pretty awesome. But they have these, like, big areas where you can go out, and, like, they're fast snowmobiles and everything else. And a lot of it's, like, you're touring around, and it's just beautiful. But then they get to these big open fields, and they're like, just go nuts. Have fun. You know, there's plenty of space for everyone. Just don't get too close to each other and go in this direction. But there was a couple of areas that had, like, bumps that you didn't really see coming. And a couple of times I got air on that thing. And I don't know if you guys ever had this experience where you get air on something and then you kind of freak out for a second.
You
let go. And then you realize that you're, like, not holding on. And you're like, oh, God. And you got to grab it real quick.
Yeah.
You're like, that was very unsafe. I am not qualified to be doing this whatsoever.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, now you were talking last week about the Watchmen. But have you been watching this season of The Outsiders? Now, that is a game changer. That one is going to be a future classic. A classic.
Message deleted.
No, it's a classic.
I'm very sad that they're not going to be bringing Watchmen back. I respect that they're not going to try to continue on without the creator, though.
Watchmen was just kind of, it was fine.
I loved it.
I didn't love it. The Outsiders, it's only three episodes
in
right now.
Where's it even on?
It's on HBO.
Is it?
Yeah.
You haven't seen
that the one with Jason Bateman?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's new with Jason Bateman, and it's based on Stephen King. I don't know if it's going to be good yet because we're three episodes in, and there's a bunch of really weird stuff as kind of you'd
but
expect.
But so far, you're hooked?
But, oh, yeah. Like, it's very well acted.
I'm so confused, though.
It's very dark. It's confusing. Yeah, but you fell asleep for half of an episode.
Okay, but it's the
third
episode.
You can't do that
episode.
In a Stephen King series.
You watch it, and then you tell me.
I'm not going to fall asleep.
You know how you, like, normally, at least for me, like, I'm on my phone, you know, and kind of messing around with it while you're watching a show. Not constantly, but, you know, you'll sit there and just scroll through, you know, Twitter or whatever while you're on. Last night, my wife and I were watching the third episode of this, and she's like, we should probably put down our phones. Like, this feels like it's pretty important what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And where I'm like, yeah, you know, you're probably right. But so far, three episodes in, The Outsider, very good.
I'm all in on the new Pope, John Malkovich.
See, I haven't started that yet.
So good.
By the way, watch the Young Pope. I started watching the Young Pope.
You got to start with that?
You don't have to, but
we should.
It's better if you start with the Young Pope?
Yeah.
Okay. The latest Curb Your Enthusiasm is hilarious.
Oh,
it's one of the best episodes.
So funny. Yeah.
And that's back as well on HBO.
Larry David.
There's a lot of good TV right now. Homeland is coming back for the final season on Showtime as well. And that's in February, so just a couple of weeks away.
Better Call Saul is going to get its last season.
Ray Donovan just wrapped up. That was pretty good.
Cheer was amazing.
I heard Cheer is pretty good.
So good.
What's Cheer?
It's a show on Netflix. Just people.
It just popped up on Netflix.
So good.
Is it about cheerleaders?
Everyone's talking about it. J.J. Watt even tweeted about it the other day and how he's all invested in. I mean, seriously, it's really good. Yeah.
Is it scripted or is
it? No. So it's kind of about, like, I mean, Navarro Cheer, which is, it's cheerleaders, which everyone's already, like, eye-rolling me right now. But it's about the.
I love Bring It On.
No, it's not even like that. It's about, like, their background stories and how they're, like, athletes.
That's your one reference.
You creep.
Yeah.
You're the guy who
it
watches
it. When I was 17.
You're the guy who watches the gymnastics tournaments on Fox Sports, weirdo.
I watched Bring It On with my high school girlfriend when I was 17. And I thought Kristen Dunst and Gabrielle Union were phenomenal.
Kirsten Dunst.
Yes.
Whatever.
Give me a hard time because I don't know the name of a hockey player from 1942, and you don't know the name of the actress that you talk about being in love with.
I didn't talk about being in love with her. Also, I got Gabrielle Union, right? She's way hotter than Kirsten Dunst.
She is. Facts. Facts.
Kirsten.
Facts.
Kirsten.
She still looks the same, too.
Yeah.
Eliza Dushku. She was cool in that, too.
Mahoney Douche, too.
Oh! Please leave a message after the tone.
So my girlfriend kind of just called me out about my porn searches. This is really awkward. Please send me good wishes.
Message deleted.
Your girlfriend did? Why don't you scrub that, man?
Yeah,
or delete the history.
What's she doing going
also,
through your history anyway?
Also, what are you searching? Because, I mean, I get it. Like, if your significant other were to go on there and see all your searches and it's totally different than what, like, they are or do, and you're like, oh.
I mean, wait, is it better, though, or worse? Because I feel like if it's the exact same, then they're like, well, I can offer this. But if it's completely different, then that's
the whole point of watching it, though. It's always different, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you're looking at the exact same, like, if you find, like, your
doppelganger?
Yeah, like, I feel like that's weird. Then why aren't you just, like, fantasizing about them?
Well, because I don't want to actually have to go through the effort of it.
Yeah, like if my wife was looking at, like,
use your imagination. Hairy... That's not what I signed up for. I'm already working on one thing over here.
No, I would be offended if my wife was, like, looking up, like, stuff like the guys look like me or Burt Kreischer. But, like, I get it with the guys who, if they had, like, six packs and they're ripped and they're, you know, like, you know, in shape.
No, I'm not just
talking
about being in better shape, though. But if it's, like, the exact opposite of you, you know, and you're like,
wait a second.
What do you mean? Like, a whole basketball team. What are you?
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
What's going on here?
Slam dunk. That's what's going on.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, of course, Florida has made this even more strange than it already was. I mean, we had the story yesterday about the iguanas that are falling out of trees and they're shocked by the cold weather, and so they'll just be sitting in the tree and they just freeze to death and fall out of the tree and that's it. It was just strange in and of itself. But now Florida has made it even more weird.
What do they do now?
There's people that are going and grabbing the iguanas and serving them as food.
I heard iguanas good eating.
Iguana meat, dubbed the chicken of the trees, are sometimes seen as invasive species.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, people in Miami and Homestead show that they are selling iguana meat, and sure enough, it should be treated like chicken. It does have to be prepared in the same way, so handled safely, since they do carry salmonella, according to experts.
Ew.
I'm going to pass. It's a hard pass for me. Yeah.
Sounds like a good pair of shoes, but like a belt.
Yeah, sure. Like
the accent.
Yeah, but as far as eating it, I mean, I've seen enough of the Naked and Afraid where they'll eat a lizard of some sort and just bleh.
They throw up right after?
No,
really?
Yeah.
So, right, some people, so bad?
No, because a lot of them carry weird stuff. I mean, they're giant lizards. Like, there's no expectation that they're going to be.
Do we eat any other lizards on a regular basis?
No. Well, I mean, depends how much wine we have.
Is it Saturday?
Every other Wednesday? You bet.
Is Kenny G on in the background?
Is that your lizard eating music?
That's right.
So, New Jersey casino goers were using Waze, and they ended up getting stranded on a wildlife reserve 45 minutes away. So, 45 miles away. So, a cop with the Jackson Police Department is warning people traveling to the Borgata in Atlantic City, which is, you know, a huge casino right there in the middle of it all in Atlantic City, says to pay careful attention if you're using the Waze navigation app, as many of them are ending up in this random remote wildlife reserve for whatever strange reason. When you type in Borgata Hotel and Casino in the Waze app, the address is listed as 1 Borgata Way in Atlantic City, New Jersey, which is correct, but the location pinned with the ad is actually the middle of the Collier's Mills Wildlife Management Area near Lake Success.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you notice, like, if you're driving into a wildlife area versus driving into New Jersey?
I mean, so I think you would know once you get there, but having made that drive a handful of times, especially if you're coming from Philadelphia, like, it's a whole bunch of nothing for most of the way, and then you get down to Atlantic City. I mean, the thing that should tip you off is that there's, like, a bunch of billboards that lead you there as you're headed in. But otherwise, I mean, it's there's nothing out there. I get how you would end up off the beaten path, but 45 miles away, like, I would be mad if I, you know, because that's, you're talking about, you probably drove 45 minutes the wrong way, and then it's 45 minutes, like, it's an hour and a half off of your night or whatever. You're just trying to go to Atlantic City and have a good time, and you're like, cool.
Probably for the better. I would be so mad.
Start throwing craps in the woods.
Actual craps, yeah. Though.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
All right, here's today's question for Know the Show.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
I didn't have a blanket, but it was like a pillow that was shaped like a... His name was Rocky.
I had Rufus, you had Rocky?
Rufus,
they could have been best friends.
They could have been.
Besties so, for the resties.
Both Mahoney and I had the same type of animal when we were younger, mm-hmm. and we both loved that animal very dearly.
He was a companion with me for many, many years, and I hope he's doing well wherever he may be.
Do you think that
he's on a farm somewhere?
That your animal and my animal may have met up,
and they're living like in a beautiful life together now.
Yeah, they're lovers.
Yeah, they're lovers.
That would be awesome.
Lovers and friends.
Oh. Whatever, you know. I mean, I hope he's living his best life.
Yeah, wherever you may be.
Wherever you may be.
What type of animals did Mahoney and I have? We were getting pretty nostalgic on the show today, talking about all the things that our parents threw away. The things that we love so much.
We were pretty lucky. Audrey was the one who...
Audrey had everything chucked. My mom actually texted me and told me that she still had my Winnie the Pooh, even though it's missing its nose.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. That's sweet.
My mom's the best. She saves everything.
Mom. That's nice. She is so sweet.
Yeah. But what is that thing for you? You know, and that's what we talked about today. But Mahoney and I both were able to reminisce about this one particular type of animal that we had shared in our youth. X107.5, good morning. What's your name?
Scott.
Scott, correct answer is...
Raccoon.
There you go.
We were all raccoons before raccoons were popular.
That's right, yeah.
That's right. Like now you had the Guardians of the Galaxy, Rocket Raccoon. You know,
right, yeah.
We were trailblazers.
Yeah, no, you had Rocky and Rufus.
Rufus yeah.
Were we going to call him Rascal? He was a
Rufus?
Rascal. Yeah.
Rufus the Rascal Raccoon.
Ooh.
Or rawr.
Rufus and Rocky the Rascals. The Rascal Raccoons, starring Rocky.
This is a lot.
We should make a kid's book.
Yeah.
We should write a kid's book.
You should.
Because here's the thing. Any celebrity who doesn't write a real book and writes a kid's book is just because they're too dumb to write a real book.
That's fine. And respect.
We are way too dumb.
I bought Jimmy Kimmel's book.
Well, that's Jimmy Kimmel's written a real book.
Oh, has he?
And so it's like Colbert and those guys. But I'm saying like the ones who are like Tori Spelling, who only will write like, you know, not even a kid's book.
You,
it's like,
you just what the hell said, you doing, man? Watch your tongue.
You just came after Spelling.
Not the Spelling family.
Yeah.
Not them.
Ian's
Randy, close personal friend of mine.
Yeah.
Who?
Randy Spelling.
Who?
The very famous life coach.
Yes.
Randy Spelling.
Remember we had him on the show to coach our
times?
Lives?
No.
Randy the Raccoon. I remember him.
Oh, yeah. That's a hell of a raccoon.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Nevada, home means the hills, home means the sage in the pine, out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada